So I'm going to bring our focus starting at verse number 11. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, it says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Put your Bible down. Your device down. Turn to your neighbor. Grab them by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. This, all right, don't take long because this ain't going to take long. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor, to you. Neighbor, to you. Amen. You may be seen. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning to you. Now, I know some of you in here love to give Christmas gifts. And that ain't a bad thing. That's right. And somebody said, I love to give them too. But those who are what I call our gift experts, Sister Davis, they don't just love giving gifts.
That's right.
They love going and getting different wrapping papers and wrapping the gifts up. And, and after they get all the wrapping paper, they know there's something else, Sister Archer, they got to get. That's something else they got to get. It's called gift label. And when you look at a gift label, it is just as important as the gift. Because if you don't put on there the information that is necessary, you don't know who it's for. Or they don't know who it's for. Because when you look at the gift label, it has two words on it. To and from. Oh, somebody working with me now. So now we're understanding where we're going with this. We have to see that the whole purpose of the to and the from is to identify, the two identifies who the gift is for. The from identifies who the gift is from. So the whole purpose of taking that gift, wrapping it up real nice, Reverend Herndon, and then you write on there to whomever, and you say it's from you. The whole purpose of that is that when the person who is the two receives that gift, they feel good because they know that you thought enough of them to give this gift to them. You know, and then my mind goes to the story about a young lady who had been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, who was engaged to a man to be married. And having to tell this man that I'm pregnant, I ain't been with nobody, and it's by the Holy Spirit. It tells us the character of the man called Joseph. Because Joseph said, I'm going to just put her away quietly. I'm not going to make a big stink out of it. That was to let us know the character of the man. You see, I want you to understand something. God don't make no mistakes. God knows just what he is doing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
God understands.
You see, what we got to realize and understand is that what God is doing around us, through us, it is not by happenstance, nor by luck, or by chuck. It's part of God's divine plan. There's a purpose behind everything. The purpose of Mary and Joseph being together, because they are the individuals that God has identified as being the ones who would be responsible for the Christ child that was about to come. And once we see that Mary told this to Joseph, Joseph went home and went to sleep that night. We see that the angel came and told him, bro, everything is cool. Yeah. She ain't do nothing on you. This all came from God. So go on and just handle this, but you know I'm going to bless you. And then also we're seeing initially when this happened, Mary was in awe because God thought enough of her to allow her to be the one and be the first to know about the Christ child. Joseph was in awe because God thought enough about him to be the one who was the protector and the provider on this earth for the Christ child. So when all of that happened and then they all excited, then all of a sudden, just weeks away, she's about to have a baby. Crinius, the governor, decides that they got to do a census, y'all. That's pretty much what it is. It's a census. You know, because the Jews were not utilized during time of battle. They were not the warriors. They were the ones who just basically paid taxes. So they want to make sure we get an accurate count because, Lord, you want to make sure we getting paid. Just telling you the real deal. So with all that happening, about roughly 3 weeks before she's about to have this baby, they got to travel 80 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And 80 miles, y'all, to us, that ain't nothing. Put me in a car, I'll be there in an hour and 10 minutes. We praying for them. Yeah, maybe even less. But what we understand is that today's travel is different. And I want you to know that the travel that they went through, that she was riding on the back of a donkey over 8 months pregnant, and they got to walk and a constant stop, because sisters are ones who've had babies. You know when that stomach starts getting bigger? That means the baby getting bigger. That means that there's not a whole lot of room for the other organs down there, and you find yourself going to the bathroom every other hour. Sister girls, y'all know what I'm talking about. I ain't experienced it. I'm just understanding how some things work. Ain't that how it work? Sisters who've been there ought to say amen. Amen. And she got a ride on the back of a donkey for 80 miles. And it took him a couple of weeks to get there. And Joseph being patient, because man said, oh, Joseph, stop, stop, stop. Oh, Lord, here we go again. I got to help her down. She got to do whatever. I help her back up. We go a little further. Joseph, go another. Oh, this feels so bumpy. But still, they persevered. Dig and Booth, they make it finally to Bethlehem. And Mary said, I just want to get comfortable. Brother Whitehead, don't you know sometimes when God is guiding us and directing us, when we expect comfort to come, God blesses us more in our uncomfortableness. Because when they got to Bethlehem, don't you know that the innkeeper said, ain't no room in the inns? Because everybody's in town. Everybody, then some folk get there early because they know they want to get someplace and get their stuff together. But then again, I want you to understand something. If they understood who Joseph and Mary had with them, they would have moved and made some room somewhere. You see, I want you to understand, we don't understand sometimes the blessings are right in front of our face. But we can't see it because that's not how we want to see it. We have to understand that we serve a God who works and does the extraordinary with the ordinary. So when we understand who is around us, we don't ever just dismiss people. He said, I ain't got no place for you to stay at. So y'all got to figure it out. They go and stay in the stable. She goes into labor. Water breaks. Goes into labor. Has the baby. In there in that dark and smelly place, right? And then they take the child and they wrap the child in swaddling cloths. And as they do that, then Joseph goes and he cleans out a feeding trough. That's a manger. He cleans it out and cleans it the best that he can, Brother Freeman. He puts hay in the bottom of it, puts a couple of blankets over it. And then they lay the child in it because they wanted to be as sanitary as possible. But how sanitary can it be in a stable? But it goes to show you that that's metaphor for the state and the condition of the world that they were living in. The world was a dark and smelly place. And the only one who could bring light into the world, his name is. And he was the only one that can change lives, change hearts, and bring a light to the world that nobody can blow out. I want you to understand, I am so excited that Jesus came the way he came and where he came. Because where he came was a place that it wasn't a lock on the door. It wasn't a place where you had to be invited in. He was out there. Whoever wanted to see him had an opportunity. But let me take you further. It brings you to our story, Sister Sarah. It brings you to the point where we are. You see, because back then, verse number 10, when the angel showed up, right? Because now, let me paint the picture. You got to see this picture. These shepherds are out there on this hill country with their sheep, wide awake, because they got to be on alert, Deacon Elwood, because they know if they ain't alert. See, the predators don't come when the sun is shining bright. The predator used the cover of darkness to come and try to swoop up the sheep. So at nighttime, the shepherds got to be on point, watching everything that's happening. with their torches in hand, trying to maintain and listen for any noise that doesn't sound normal. But while they're on watch, all of a sudden a bright light comes. An angel comes. Can you imagine how startled these brothers were? Sean, they ain't used to seeing no floodlight back in that day. Come on, let's just be real. It's like a floodlight. It is so bright, shining on them. And once it shines, all of a sudden, they don't know what's going on. They said, bro, don't be afraid. Y'all ain't got nothing to be afraid of. And then he goes on to tell them, because in the New Revised Standard Version, it starts off, verse number 11 starts with two words, and those two words are to you. To you. So what he goes on to them know that to you in the city of David is born the Messiah, who's born the Savior, the Messiah. So he was letting them know that who was there for them. And that they're going to find him and they'll be able to identify because he is a child that is wrapped in cloths and he is laid in a manger. A manger? You see, we've come up in the world. Now, so I'm about to say something that some of y'all can relate to. You see, when I was a little baby, I was told that they put me up in the big dresser drawer. Oh, somebody know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They had me in the big dresser drawer when I was a newborn. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but you're holding now. You don't want to put your hand up. I was in the big dresser drawer when I was born. But here, what they're saying, what they're being told by the angel, you're going to easily find it because how many folk going to put a baby in a manger? Ain't many babies going to be found in a manger. You see, so what we are seeing here is this, is that these shepherds are told by the angel that this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Yeah. And he identifies how they're going to find who he is. And then after the announcement is made by the angel, don't you know whenever God's word goes forward, the next thing that follows is praise? Because don't you know that once the angel made the announcement, don't you know a heavenly host just showed up? Sean, here comes another spotlight. The heavenly host comes and they show up and they start praising God right then and there. So what is that telling us, my brothers and sisters? How is it that we have got so holy we think it ain't important to praise God? How is it that we've gotten so holy when we hear the word of God? Oh, well, you know, that was just a decent word. We got a whole lot to praise God for because we can hear what God is telling us. And what God is telling us is that to you in the city of David, there is a gift wrapped in swaddling cloths that's going to make a difference in your life. He's going to make you and I brand new. But hold on. I don't understand. Deacon Wiley, what I don't understand is, since this Jesus who has come, who is the Messiah, and we wanted to be known for all Jerusalem, why didn't he have him appear to the priests? Why didn't he have him appear to the folk of high society? He gonna have him appear to all people first. The first to find out of his birth is a whole bunch of shepherds. The Orthodox Jews didn't like the shepherds. They didn't like them because they were incapable of maintaining all of the cleansing rituals that are necessary. How you going to deal with sheep and keep yourself and hands clean all the time? Wasn't going to work. So they had issues with them because they weren't able to maintain stuff. And because of that, they were considered to be the low class. We need them, but we don't want them around. We need somebody to handle them sheep. So we keep them out in the fields with the sheep. It's amazing how so many folk are on the outside looking in because of the fact that they don't meet up to the criteria that we think folk ought to have. So we keep them on the outside looking in. You know, you can be here, but you can't be a part of this or be a part of that because of the fact that you don't talk well enough, or you ain't educated well enough, or you ain't got the right background, or we know about your past, and we so fast want to categorize people. But I am so glad that the Lord didn't put us in categories. He sees us all as one, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is telling us that God doesn't have an upper class, a lower class, and a middle class. God just have a whole bunch of people who are stuck in darkness, who are lost in the sauce, who think they got it all together, but everything is so messed up. I am so thankful that we serve a God who does not separate us but brings us all together. And the one that brings us together, his name is Jesus. So as we see this, what we see happening here, and what we have to understand, is that the Savior came to be a gift to you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, this ain't a long message, but I got to give you this message. I want you to see that some folks say, I can't take that gift. I can't receive that gift. You see, but I want you to know that gift came to you. But some folk want to deny it, or some folk want to push it away. Some folks say, I ain't worthy of that gift. You see, when the announcement is made here to the shepherds, there is nothing in here being said that, well, we chose you because you've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. We chose you because we know that you are without spot or wrinkle. We chose you because you uphold everything that we're looking for. That is not what the angel said to them. He just said to them, to you. He did not put any qualifications or anything on them that they had to meet up to. All he is saying is, it is to you. So what I'm saying to you today is that to you, there's a gift. And I don't care how you think, you don't deserve it. Can I let you in on a secret? None of us did. None of us are worthy of this gift. But God has given his son to us in spite of us. Well, don't the Lord know how I drank and how I cussed, how I fussed, and how I slipped, how I dipped, how I did whatever? It don't matter. The Lord hadn't put no restrictions on it. What the Lord is saying is that Jesus came for the entire world. He came to make a difference in all of us. He came to heal, deliver, and set us all free. You have to be able to embrace that gift. And when I look at these shepherds, they did not walk away from the gift, but they went to go look for the gift because they realized that if God thought enough about me to come and make me aware of this, I got to go and see it. So I can see them now putting themselves together, running down to the city, looking for this child. And when they found him, they were excited. And then, you know what they began to do? Praise God. You see, because God thought enough about little old stinky me to allow me to be the first to see the Christ child that is being born. Ain't that enough to praise God for? If the Lord can show some stinky shepherds that they are worthy of his son, he is showing us that we are worthy of his son. I don't care if you was cracked up one time. I don't care if you was coked up, smoked up, drinked up, or whatever up. I'm here to tell you, the Lord can fix you. The Lord will heal you. The Lord will turn you around. He's got a gift that's just to you. All you got to be willing to do is embrace the gift that God has to you. And when you do, he will make your life brand. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about Christmas, we have to understand that we received a gift that came wrapped. And it came wrapped with everything we stand in need of. I don't care what you are lacking in your life. When you receive the gift of Jesus, which is a gift to you, it has everything that you need, when you need, and how you need. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I have some folk that understand that this gift has everything you need and is there for you? There are some folk who are looking around and saying, Lord, I want this gift. But I can't. You don't know my story. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did either. You see, the beauty of this gift is that it's a gift that's a gift that keeps on giving. You see, because Mother Austin, tomorrow we're going to have some gifts under the tree. We're going to open those gifts. That's it. That's it. Whatever it is, you're going to wear it or you're going to use it. That's it. But the gift of Jesus is a gift that just keeps on giving, keeps on healing, keeps on delivering, keeps us saved and in our right mind, keeps us moving forward when we think we're stuck where we are, keeps us praising God when others say we have nothing to praise about, keeps a roof over our heads, keeps us in our right mind, keeps us with full activity of our limbs, keeps us with food on our table, clothes on our back, cars to drive, money in our pockets. I tell you, feel the gift of Jesus. It's a gift that just keeps on. And you know the beauty about the gift of Jesus? It don't ever wear out. It don't ever run out. It don't ever get old. It's a gift. That's a gift that's brand new. That's why we say great is his faithfulness. Why? Because each and every day God is showing us what? New mercy. You see why it doesn't get old? Because every day is a. Don't you know it's there just? God has given his son to you. And how does he give them to you? Just the way you are. And when you embrace that gift, I don't care whatever in this world has you bound. I don't care whatever in this world that thinks that you can't get out. I'm here to tell you, when you go and you embrace that gift that's there to you, I want you to know when you receive that gift will do something to you. That gift will take that stuff that has had you bound, and God will break the chains. That stuff that makes you think you can't, God will show you that, yes, you can. You see, Brother Chester, when you receive that gift that's there to you, I want you to know that God will do a great thing in your life. God, the God that we serve, he works in the impossible, because things which are impossible with man are possible with God. And when we put our trust in God, won't the Lord make a way out of no way? Won't the Lord do what he said he gonna do? Won't the Lord bring you through this and bring you through that? Won't the Lord turn your life around? Won't the Lord give you what you stand in need of? I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord has a gift, and that gift he has is to you. All you got to do is take that gift, hold on to that gift, unwrap that gift, and the Lord's going to bless you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody been blessed by the gift in the manger? Anybody been healed by the gift in the manger? Anybody been changed by the gift in the manger? Anybody been brought through some stuff by the gift in the manger? Somebody ought to give him some praise. Somebody ought to magnify his name. Somebody ought to go on and give it to him right now. We serve a mighty good God. Hallelujah. You see, my brothers and sisters, have a seat for a second, then we're going to shut it down. Somebody in this church had asked me about Christmas. Oh, and you know what I said to them? There was a time in my life when I was a little boy, I loved Christmas. All the family come together. My mother was the oldest of nine. And every Christmas, we had Christmas dinner at Nana's house, in Nana's basement. In Nana's basement, no, it was a nice basement. In Nana's basement, from that wall to about here. They took a picture every year of all the food that was on that table. Brother ate good. And I ate everything.
Good time.
But 75 changed everything. 13-year-old boy finds out his mother's sick. Next 9 months, watched her suffer. She went on home to glory in September 19th, 1976. Just turned 14. Christmas wasn't the same. Wasn't. I couldn't see the joy in it anymore, Reverend Herndon. I had nothing to be excited about. Because Christmas to me was commercial Christmas. I didn't know really anything about Jesus, except when they made me go. And they made us get in that plane. I had to memorize this one line. I can't remember what it is, but I looked at it. Okay, I got it. Put it in my pocket. Whatever I had to say. Oh, you did good. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right, I'm done. All right, where the candy? So at 14 to his mid-20s, an angry, bitter, frustrated young man who didn't really want to be involved with Christmas. Because of what happened at 14. So it had no significance to me until October 14th, 1989, I gave my life to Christ. On October 21st, 1989, Reverend Herndon, they dipped a brother. He got baptized. And then, what God did with this big head boy you're looking at here. I'm a man now. I understand that. What he did in this life, he made Christmas make sense to me. Because I read that story. I didn't deserve it. Because how I lived. I didn't deserve it. Because I wanted no part of God. I didn't deserve it. But what he said to you, here's the gift. Not me. Do you know what I've done to you? Here's your gift. And once the Lord did that, you know, I see Christmas in a way I've never saw it before. I can think about my mama now and I can still smile. Amen. There was a time I couldn't even say her name without tears coming down my face. But when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, I got tears in my eyes, but these are tears of joy of what God can do with a life and change a life. When you understand that the gift came wrapped and that gift is to you. And once the Lord showed me that and then said, you're going to be preaching. I said, after all the stuff I did against you, you still want to use me. And that's what I'm telling you who was out here. I don't care how folk have labeled you. I don't care how you fell short in your life. I don't care how you didn't meet the standards of what other folk say about you. I still want you to know that today there's a gift that is to you. And what are you waiting for? It's time for you to come and get your gift.